The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Two Chairs, No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. This is episode number 41, The Taylor Home Inn, Part 2. Two Chairs, No Waiting is brought to you by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by for all your Mayberry needs, t-shirts, books, videos, whatever you might need, they've got it. So drop by weaversdepartmentstore.com. All right, folks, let's get into this episode. We've got the folks from the Taylor Home Inn up in Wisconsin. They're going to be visiting with us again. We had part one of the interview last week, and now we have part two. So we're going to continue that interview. A lot of you folks have already made comments and gone to the websites and visited to see some of the photos. And if you didn't get a chance to do that, those links will be in the show notes. And you can also go to our Facebook page. If you become a fan of our podcast at Facebook, if you're on Facebook, there's photos there. You don't have to be a fan. You can just go there. It's facebook.com/twochairs. That's how you get there. Go to www.facebook.com/twochairs, all one word, and it'll take you to our podcast fan page on Facebook. And we have photos, and a lot of folks leave comments there, and it's a good place to leave some comments if you'd like to. Or, even better yet, we'd love to hear from you at 888-684-8415. With your voicemails. It's free, toll free. Please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. It's great to hear your voices. You can also leave us comments by email at floyd@mayberry.com, or you can leave comments on the podcast website at mayberry.com/podcast. All right, that's all our business out of the way. Now we can get back into the interview. We're going to talk a little bit tonight with David Marsha about some of the people that have visited their bed and breakfast, the Taylor Home Inn. At taylorhomein.com, by the way. And we'll also be able to hear a few other things about how they were able to find furniture and different things like that to make the bed and breakfast as realistic to the show. I don't know if realistic is the right word to put, but to be as faithful to the Andy Griffith Show and the way the Taylor home looked as possible. So without me talking much more, let's get on into the interviews. Here's Dave and Marsha. Some of the folks that have visited there, how far away have people traveled to come and visit the Taylor Home Inn?
We've had people from Texas, North and South Carolina, Florida. We had a family, one part of the family lived in Los Angeles, another part of the family lived in New York. They met in Minneapolis and then drove to our place and spent a week with us.
And the lady was actually a screen, what was she, Dave?
A film editor.
Film editor that had worked with Ron Howard on Cocoon.
Sound editor.
Yeah, and so, you know, she was a big fan of the show, and when she found out about us, they came here. But we've had people from Colorado and Oregon and Connecticut, and
yeah,
I don't know,
from all
just
over.
Everywhere.
We've got a map of the United States, and this winter I'm going to go through and put little dots on the map to see where everyone was from, so you can kind of get an idea. Most of it's from the Midwest, though. A lot of people from, you know.
But we've had Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia, and just about kind of representative of all the regions.
Well, I recently saw some pictures from folks that were from the a dollar and a quarter chapter. That
yeah,
they're from Philadelphia, I believe, or over in that area, Pennsylvania or something like that.
Yep.
And I saw their photos. Now they had taken photos, obviously, of the fireplace, but they were also in the kitchen. You guys went to a lot of work to make the kitchen look like Aunt B's kitchen as well, right?
Well, we figured, well, this is the way I tell people. We bought Andy's house from Mayberry, and then we updated it a little bit, you know.
Well, what about the Simses? Did you let them get in on the deal?
Yeah.
We've had some people. Well, Ken Anderson, of course, who's written a book about, you know, the first 4 years of the show, he walked in along with some other people that have done this and looked up and said, yep, I can see the crack in the ceiling up there. But, you know.
Now, you didn't get to that kind of detail, did you? You don't have a crack in the ceiling.
We didn't put the crack there, no, okay. Because you had to look hard.
I think there's one developing.
But, no, it came down to, other than we do have to live in the home, and so it's a newer refrigerator and a modern phone. But,
sure.
Yeah, we replaced the wood fireplace with a gas. So
yeah.
That's a good idea.
Right. But we knew that, we knew that the occasional fans wouldn't care, but the real fans would recognize the kitchen. You know, you see in the living room, you have a shot looking one way or looking another. But in the kitchen, the camera was pretty stationary. And so you wanted to have that part that people see look pretty much like it did. So we got the canisters like they had, and we got the same coffee carafe that Aunt Bea would use. And
the china cabinet, the blue willow and all that.
Yeah, they've had the china cabinet made by an Amish woodworker who, you know, didn't quite understand why we were doing a television show for a home. But anyway.
Nobody understood.
But it was just kind of one of those things where if you love the show and you're recreating it, you want to do it right. So.
Well, it is amazing because the photographs, and again, I haven't gotten to come there yet, but the photographs that people send or that you've sent me that I've seen on your website, you know, just like the dining area, you guys went to so much detail to make sure, as you said, get the right furniture, the painting on the wall. You've got the, I forgot the name of the painting. What is it that's on the wall?
Grandma Moses, it's called Sugaring Off Again.
Yeah. You've got those on the wall. I mean, the china cabinets and the all the stuff in the room is so much exactly like the show that it floors me every time I see it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That one was kind of, one of the easiest ones to get right. Don't you think, Dave, once we found the painting? And the furniture, as far as you see it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it didn't really change. The living room walls change sometimes, you know, on the piano wall.
That's the thing. We had to try to figure out what color scheme to go with because it changed so often. And
right.
There's no first color. I think they had a hard time when they went from black and white to color. They had a hard time trying to figure out what they should paint the room and mm-hmm. what kind of wallpaper they could use it wouldn't cause a seizure, you know. Or
well, and I'm sure you had trouble too because things change throughout each season. Not just the color scheme, but the door in the kitchen, for instance, was in different places, and you know, things like that in the house. And I understand that the living room is actually it's bigger than it would have been on the show because you had to make it bigger just for livability.
Well, no. I would say the front wall, mm-hmm. you know, where they go out the front wall, that wall, you know, because they filmed, you know, on an indoor set, and then house is actually, you know, at that 40-acre lot. To try to meld the two together, we would end up with a kitchen that was like a hallway. You know?
Right.
It wouldn't work. So we had to stretch one of the walls and push. Basically, we pushed the front wall out probably about 6 feet.
Right.
More than it should be, and that's what makes the room look so big.
Right. Well, but from the photographs, because when you're in the room taking the picture, you're where the camera would have been.
Right.
On the show. So, I mean, the way you have arranged the room to live there, you're it's perfect because you can put the camera basically where the film camera would have been, so that you're that far away from the couch and the chairs and the fireplace and stuff, and looking over into that shot you always had, kind of looking where you could see the dining area and everything at the same time. You know, that's inside. Obviously, otherwise you'd have been out on the porch taking that shot because the house wasn't that big.
No. When they filmed that, I'm sure they were able to move walls out of the way.
Right, definitely.
We got a sense of how they filmed some of those shots when we had that TV crew come here. Because they took like a still from Jim Clark's book, and they tried to recreate it exactly. And so we would, you know, be sitting on the couch like where Andy and Aunt Bee were sitting, or at the table or whatever. And they would have to, you know, well, we got to move this table out of the way, you know, just to get the right shot. It was just, you know. And then what was cool on that little blurb on the TV, they would fade in from the Andy show, and then they fade right into our living room.
Yeah, like, you said that was from Barney Fife Realtor. They were going from an actual shot from Barney Fife Realtor to your a house, and blending them together.
Right.
And that's why, you know, they put the camera exactly where it would have been when they filmed that scene from the show, so that they would have the right look. And they were doing the one camera filming too, and you know, it would take forever to set up the shot, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, he was checking the lighting, the angle, and the height of the shot, and everything. It was just like, okay, we'll sit here and wait for you to get. And I can just imagine that's probably what it would have been like.
Yeah, well, for a 5-minute blurb on the TV that they did, it took them about 3.5 to 4 hours to film it. So you do get a sense. But when we were talking about the room being larger, from the piano side over to the dining room wall, it's pretty accurate. If you see the Malcolm Merriweather episode or the Miss Peggy one where they come in and, you know, you get the look from there, it's just about accurate.
That was pre-closet days.
Yes.
Right.
But the front, if you look at the front porch, and of course, you know, you'd see the outdoor set when they drive up or whatever. The front porch has that dogleg in it at the top of the steps where it's deeper.
Right.
And if we had put the front wall of our living room, the exterior wall, where it belonged, when you get to that little jog in the wall, what would have happened is that they would have cut the kitchen in half.
Ah.
So like you said, you would have had a hallway. And so in order to have the kitchen be like it was, we had to push that wall out so we'd have the porch like it was supposed to be and have the kitchen like it was supposed to be.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you had to do.
Yeah, you know, the window over Aunt Bee's shoulder in the dining room was the same problem. That couldn't have been an exterior wall with the kitchen being like it was, so we had to put a utility room back there. So, you know, you have to just work with it.
Yeah, well, that's just like any of the other sets, like trying to figure out how the courthouse was arranged. It's not arranged in a way a real building could have possibly been arranged.
Exactly.
So I understand. Because, well, if you think about it, the bedrooms upstairs on the show, that wouldn't have worked either, the way the house was designed. It just didn't work exactly right. But I think you guys have done an amazing job. All right, there we go. There was David Marsha from the Taylor Home Inn, part two of our interview. We have just a little bit left, so we'll have another episode next week of part three of our interview with them. I encourage you to go back, if you didn't have a chance to, go back and listen to part one, episode number 40, and then, this episode will make a lot more sense to you if you haven't heard that one. But definitely encourage that. I want to encourage you again to drop by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. And please remember that Weaver's is actually the arm that sells stuff of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. So any purchases you make from them go to help support the club and all the activities that the club itself supports. So I definitely encourage you to do that and support that great organization that this podcast and all the other things related to the Andy Griffith Show that we have probably wouldn't be around if it wasn't for them. So that's about it for tonight, folks, and we'll see you next week on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast.